Good morning once again, church. We're continuing our series, Hello, My Name Is. Today, our third session, we're going to be talking about cultivating. So if you have your Bibles, open to Romans chapter 10, which is our theme passage. And while you're turning there, let's talk about cultivating a little bit. I think most of us, being in an agricultural society here in Aledo, I think we're kind of familiar with the concept of what it means to cultivate land, to prepare ground so that we can plant seeds into it and actually have them grow. And as we talk about spiritual CPR, and we talked about cultivating last week, we are talking about cultivating relationships with people for the purpose of developing that relationship to bring what I like to call a pre-Christian to faith in Jesus, to have a real relationship with Jesus. I love the term pre-Christian rather than the lost or rather than unsaved, because it keeps the goal in mind for us, doesn't it? Right? When we use the term pre-Christian, we're reminding ourselves that the ultimate goal here is to bring someone to faith in Christ. And so we're looking to cultivate these relationships, not merely to get people to make a decision for Christ, but to really develop a long-term relationship with someone where we, yes, where we might actually bring them to Christ, but then also continue on in that relationship to help them become someone who understands what it means to cultivate and plant and reap as well. Okay? So let's read our scripture once more together. Romans 10, 13 to 15. I would imagine that maybe some of you are working on getting this memorized and hidden in your heart, which is great. But let's stand together and read this passage one more time. Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15. Let's read it together. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you so much for this very practical process that we can enter into of cultivating relationships and what that means and what that looks like and how we might be able to grasp this concept when it comes to our relationships with those who have yet to become Christians. Lord, I pray that you would help us to not only hear what you have to say to us this morning, but that we would take it to heart and that we would put it into practice, that we would not just be merely hearers of the word and so deceive ourselves, but that we would do what it says, and that we might be like those who look at the word of God like a mirror, and we see our reflection and we fix those things that need to be fixed. I pray, Lord, that you would help us in this time together, but also in sessions to come, that you would help us to understand what it truly means to cultivate relationships, to plant seeds of Jesus into them, and to reap, to call for a response as we see people coming to know Jesus Christ, and then to take them beyond that, to teach them how to do this as well. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth would not be my own, but that they would be yours, and that you would use them in the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish everything that you want to accomplish in us today. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So when we talk about cultivating, we're talking about relationships, right? We're talking about developing, cultivating relationships. Now, if you've planted a garden or if you're a farmer, you know that sometimes the ground that you are looking to plant in can be tough. Sometimes it's difficult to break up that hard, dry ground in some people. And when we're talking about relationships, there are just some people who are really dry and crusty. Maybe these are people in your family. Maybe these are people in your neighborhood. Maybe these are people who you encounter at work. But either way, God's desire is that everyone would come to have a saving relationship with Jesus. And so because we believe that, because we know that to be true, God calls us to be involved in this process of cultivating relationships. And One of the ways that we develop relationships, one of the ways we cultivate relationships, is through another process where we talked last week about spiritual CPR. We're going to talk today about TLC, okay? Because that kind of falls under this idea of cultivating the relationship. And so when we talk about spiritual TLC, right, we think of TLC as tender loving care, right? That's TLC in normal speak. But as we're talking about cultivating relationships, the TLC that we're going to be talking about is targeting, listening, and caring. Okay, so let's look at what it means to target. To target means to open your eyes. If you still have your Bible open, turn back to Matthew and chapter 11 and verse 19. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 19, here's what Jesus says. He's answering here some questions that the Pharisees and that the teachers of the law have about his ministry and what in the world is going on with him and who he really is. And he is answering some of these questions, and he's kind of fed up with them because they are trying to catch him. They're leveling some accusations against him, and he is trying to answer those. And so one of the accusations that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law would lay against Jesus is that he was a friend of sinners. And I want you to understand something about Jesus, and we're going to see this here in the verse we're going to read. But Jesus embraces that moniker. He really embraces that idea of being a friend of sinners. Look what he says in verse 19. Let's grab some context and go up to verse 16. He says, "To what can I compare this generation? They are like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to others, 'We played the pipe for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn.'" In other words, we told you of good news and you wouldn't rejoice with us. We told you of bad news and you wouldn't mourn with us. And it says, "For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man," which he's speaking of himself there, "I came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' But wisdom is proved right by her deeds." So Jesus is accused here of being a friend of sinners. Now understand this. Understand this, as we look at the Gospels and as we see Jesus' life, he was not just friendly. He wasn't just friendly to tax collectors, to sinners. He wasn't just friendly with the prostitutes or with those down and outers. He was actually their friend. He was there for them. He became their friend. And this is the example that as we look at targeting and opening our eyes, that we understand that God is calling us not just to be friendly, but to be a friend. Let me try and make the distinction here of what I mean. Being friendly is smiling at them and saying, "Hey, how are you doing?" And maybe even talking to them on this surface level, right? That's what being friendly is. But Jesus calls us to not just be friendly, but to actually be a friend. What does the Bible say about friendship? It says that there are friends who are closer than brothers, right? It says that friends are there even in the difficult times. Even when things get really bad and really rough, they're not going to turn tail and run. They're going to walk with you through it. And they're going to wade through the garbage and the filth and the muck of your life to help you get to where you need to go. And this is what God is calling us to. This is what Jesus did with the tax collectors and sinners. Turn in your Bible to John chapter 4. We've looked at this passage a couple of times already, but I want to look at it one more time. And the question then becomes, where do we find our unsaved friends, right? Where do we find these pre-Christians? Where are we going to find them? If all we're ever doing is spending time in church or with Christian friends, then where are we going to find unsaved friends? Well, look at what Jesus says to his disciples here. Now, Jesus is coming along here. He has come through Samaria. He has had this conversation with this sinful woman, again, being her friend, not just simply being friendly, but being her friend, telling her the truth, telling her what she needs to know. And then she responds by going into town and telling everybody about Jesus. And in verse 31, we see this. "Meanwhile, his disciples urged Jesus, 'Rabbi, eat something.' But he said to them, 'I have food to eat that you know nothing about.' And then his disciples said to each other, 'Could someone have brought him food?' My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying? It's still 4 months until harvest. I tell you, listen, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. So Jesus is saying to these disciples, look, guys, open your eyes and look at where we are. There is a whole field here that is ready for me to be here. I find it very interesting that when Jesus reveals himself as Messiah, he doesn't necessarily go to what we might call the specifically religious, right? The super hyper religious people. He doesn't go to Jerusalem and proclaim, I'm the Messiah. He doesn't go to some of these other towns and proclaim. In fact, he does just the opposite. He'll go to some of these places, perform a miracle, and tell the person that he healed or the person that he did the miracle for, you keep quiet and don't say anything about what has happened. Right? In fact, Jesus in Mark chapter 5, Jesus actually goes all the way across the Lake of Galilee to the towns of Gennesaret, to the area of Gennesaret, which is in the Decapolis, and he encounters this demon-possessed man who he heals. And you remember the story, he casts this legion of demons into a herd of pigs that run off a cliff and down into the water and drown themselves. And so all of the people from the town come out and beg Jesus to leave. And the man who he healed wants to come with him. And Jesus says, no, you stay here and you tell your family, tell your friends, tell everyone you meet about what God has done for you. Again, not a Jewish enclave, right? Definitely a Gentile area. But we know that this man did what he was told, because when Jesus comes back to that area, there are a bunch of people waiting for him and ready to receive him. And he stays there many days doing ministry. And so we need to open our eyes and see where the people are. Now, let me share with you. This is another acronym, you know, like CPR or TLC. We need to look at our natural love path, L-O-V-E, okay? This is where we will find unsaved people. This is where we'll find pre-Christians. We'll find them in our location. These are people who are at home, people in our neighborhood, people where we live, okay? So look in your location for those pre-Christian people. Occupation. At our job, there are people who are not saved, people who need Jesus. We need to open our eyes and look for them. Vacation, where we play, where we enjoy ourselves, where we have fun, maybe in the restaurants we go to, maybe in the ball games we attend. There are people there who need Jesus, and we can build relationships with people there. And then education, people at school. Now, I'm looking out here. I don't think anybody is in school now, but this is information that we can pass on to folks. And, I guess technically, Jeannie's kind of in school. Like, there are students who come to her, but that would kind of be occupation as well. But it doesn't matter, but you get the point. Wherever we find ourselves on a regular basis, that's where we will find unsaved people. Now, let me just share really quick, a little bit of a caution here. As we look at our love path, as we look at the location, occupation, vacation, education, and we see, okay, there really aren't a lot of unsaved people in my natural love path. There's one of two things we need to do. Number one, we need to either adjust our path so that we come into contact more regularly with unsaved people, or we can ask God to bring people into our lives who are not saved. Let me share with you a little story about how that happened to me. And I think I've shared this story with you before, but it bears repeating since we're talking about it here. I was sharing this with my youth group when I was a youth pastor many years ago. And as I shared this with them one Wednesday night, I got done. And that Thursday, I had come back to the office and I was preparing for the weekend. And as I was preparing, the Lord just kind of brought these things to my mind, and then I heard very clearly this voice in my head that said, why are you being such a hypocrite? And I said, what? He's like, and the Holy Spirit says to me, who are the pre-Christians in your life? And I said, well, I work in a church, so everyone I work with, the occupation, that's all Christians. Location, I have, you know, I live in my home, and all my family are Christian. All my extended family are Christian. Education, I don't go to school, but when I go to learn, I'm usually with other Christians. And my vacation, the things I do, I'm usually doing those things with other Christians. And so I realized that I didn't have unsaved people in my life. And so I got on my knees and I prayed and I said, Lord, there's really nothing I can do with my job and other things that I have going on to adjust this path. You're going to have to bring someone into my life who needs you. So I prayed that prayer. That weekend, we were actually preparing to have an all-nighter. Now, if you are in youth ministry and you know what an all-nighter is, they're awful. All right? But we were planning to have one. Cindy was planning one with the girls at our house, and I was planning one at the church with our boys. And the thing that the boys loved to do was video games. And so I had a system, and I could play up to 8 people. And so I was looking for games for that system that could play 8 players so we could have the maximum number of guys playing at the same time. So I was looking in town for a video game store of some kind, and I found one, and I drove up to it, and I parked the car, and I walked in, and as I walked in, the little bell went ding-ding-ding, and the guy in the back said, I'll be with you in a minute, and I said, no rush, I'm not in a hurry, just take your time. And I'm looking around, I'm looking at some of the games he has on display, and as I get to the counter, I look up, and here on his shelf is a Pittsburgh Steelers helmet. And I'm thinking, I like this guy already. And he came out, and he said, what can I do for you? I said, well, first thing you can do is tell me where you got that helmet. And he told me, he says, well, if you like the helmet, you're going to love this. And he pulls up his sleeve, and he's got a Steeler logo tattooed on his bicep. And so I'm like, dude, we need to be friends, right? And so he helped me out in finding a couple of games for our all-nighter. And I made it a point of going back in there at least once a week and just talking to him. And I didn't always buy something, but I always went in there, and he always expected me, usually at the same time each week. And we talked, and at one point he invited me over to his house to play some Madden, and we had a lot of fun together. And I was cultivating that relationship. And I share that story to tell you that when you ask God that question, if you ask God to bring unsaved people into your life, He will answer that. Do you know why? Because God has placed you strategically where you are to be Jesus to the people around you. And when you ask God, when you're ready to take on this idea of cultivating relationships that target people, and again, not just to make a decision, but to actually have a long-term relationship with them, that you will see that when you pray that prayer, God, bring these people into my path, that He will make it happen. Listen, we will always miss what we're not looking for, right? Remember a couple of weeks ago, I showed you the video of the moonwalking bear? Do you remember that one? Right? We always miss what we're not looking for. And so if we refuse to open our eyes, we will never see the people who need Jesus. And so the very first thing we need to do is to open our eyes and see the people around us who need Jesus. All right? So TLC, T is target, open your eyes. Second, L is listen. Open your ears. Stephen Covey, author of 5 Habits of Highly Successful People, said this: we need to seek first to understand, then to be understood. So what we need to do and what we need to understand is that God is calling us to listen first with the purpose of understanding where someone is coming from. We need to seek first to understand someone before we can be understood. This builds trust in our relationships. It builds loyalty in our relationships. And it helps the person that we're talking to feel as if we care, truly care about them and where they're coming from. Okay? And sometimes we don't know what to ask. We don't know how to talk to people. I think one of the things that we have lost in our society is the ability to communicate with each other. And so we tend to get this whole thing backwards, where we want to be understood before we ever understand someone else. And because we're all busy trying to be understood, nobody understands, and we all are missing the point. And so how do we develop a way of talking to people that seeks first to understand? We need to ask people where they're from. This is another acronym that will help you think about when we talk with people, asking them where they're from, okay? First of all, ask about their family. Ask about their family. Ask about siblings. Ask about parents. Ask about children. Ask about the place where they grew up. Here's something that I found about people. Most people like to talk about themselves. If you ask them a question about them, do you come from a big family? They'll answer that question. Now, they may answer it like this: yes. Well, guess what the next question is? How big was your family? Now we get to talking. I have 3 brothers and a sister. Oh, okay, so there are 5 in your family. Where do you fit in that? Where were you? Are you like the oldest? Are you the youngest? Are you somewhere in the middle? Oh, well, that's interesting, because when I was born, I'm the youngest of 2. So, you got it way ahead of me. And so we ask about siblings. We can ask about their parents. We can ask about whether or not they have a spouse or children. Where did they grow up? This is talking about their family. And again, asking the questions, but then keeping quiet long enough to actually listen to the answers. Okay? The R in from is recreation. What do they like to do for fun? If they had a choice. Here's one of my favorite questions to ask someone. If you could go anywhere in the world on vacation, where would you go? And so I love asking that question, because it's just one of those questions that kind of opens up that people may have never really thought about that. Well, if I could go anywhere, I don't know where I'd go. And that leads to conversation, and it leads to understanding who they are and where they're from. The O in from is occupation. What do you do for a living? What are your dreams? What are your aspirations? What do you hope that your life will be when all is said and done? What is your occupation? And the M is memories. What are some of the things that you remember from your childhood? Now, asking this question, we got to be careful, because sometimes asking this question can conjure up bad memories too, right? And so we need to be careful and tread lightly there. But even if that happens, that opens up a door for us to move into this next part, which we're going to talk about here in a moment. But talk about a time that they most enjoyed, or one of their favorite memories as a kid, or even in their adult days. From family, recreation, occupation, memories. These are questions that you can answer. Now, the next thing I want you to understand is that we need to develop questions and have them ready to ask when we meet people. When God opens the door, look, if we don't have these questions ready to go, and God opens the door for us to cultivate that relationship with someone, and they're not right at our fingertips, then we're going to drop the ball, usually. And so I want to challenge you, and we're going to talk about this in the challenge portion, but write questions down. Memorize the questions. Practice asking the questions with your spouse or with another Christian, or just practice getting into that conversation and learning how to do that. Practice listening to understand. Like any skill, listening is something that we need to practice. It's something that doesn't come naturally. That's why the Bible says everyone needs to be slow to speak and slow to become angry and quick to listen, right? And so we need to understand that God wants us to understand where people are coming from: family, recreation, occupation, and memories. All right? So we have target, open your eyes; listen, open your ears; and then finally the C in TLC is care, open your hands. Turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. And I want you to see this. I want you to see what Jesus says here in Mark chapter 10. Let's get context here. Let's start in verse 35. It says, "Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they asked, We want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. And they replied, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. You don't know what you are asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? We can, they answered. And Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. And when the other 10 of the apostles or disciples heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. And so Jesus called them together and said, now notice what's happening here. James and John asked Jesus a question that all the other 10 wanted to ask him. This is why they were mad. They were mad because James and John beat them to the punch, I believe. But all of them were upset that James and John had asked this question. And that might actually have been a topic of conversation on the road at some point where the 12 disciples, in fact, we know that at one point they were arguing about who was the greatest. Remember that? And so James and John come and ask Jesus to let them sit on either side of him when he comes into his glory. And so this argument breaks up out and there's hard feelings against James and John. And so Jesus calls them together. And this is a teaching moment for Jesus. And he says to them, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus is our example of opening our hands here. He is the one who proved his love by serving. Right? He washed the disciples' feet at the Last Supper. He gave his life for all mankind. He did what needed to be done. He was the ultimate example of what it means to be a servant. And so in our relationships, we need to care enough to open our hands. We need to be meeting real needs. And how do we do this? How do we know what those real needs are? Well, when we target and listen, we will learn what their needs are. Isn't that interesting? That when we open our eyes and when we open our ears and when we begin to understand where people are coming from, we will begin to see where people have a need. Again, going back to the illustration of the moonwalking bear, look for the need. We don't see the things that we're not looking for. And so I want to challenge you to look for the need. Have your eyes open, and when you see the need, meet the need. When someone mentions a need, having our ears open, listening, and when someone mentions a need, we can do what we can to help. And here's another thing that happens. Sometimes you're cultivating a relationship with someone, and they mention a need that someone else has. And you say to them, hey, why don't you and I go and meet that need? Maybe you're talking with an unsafe friend, and they say, you know, my neighbor's house, during the storm last night, my neighbor's house got a great big hole in it, and they're going to need some roofing repair. And you might say, hey, you know what? Why don't you and I go and get some materials and go and fix their roof so they don't have to shell out a bunch of money to have someone else do it? What does that say to your unsafe friend? First of all, it gets them involved in servanthood even before they become a Christian, but it also demonstrates your willingness to be a servant, to care. Be creative in your service. I remember one time when we were in our last church that we were, my girls actually were kind of walking around the church, and they overheard a conversation where this couple was talking to another couple about how they had an unexpected bill and they weren't sure how they were going to be able to pay it and still go on vacation. And so they came to us and said, hey, Mom and Dad, do you realize that so-and-so is having this issue? And I said, well, no, they haven't talked to me about it, so I didn't know. And so they thought, is there some way that we can help them? Is there some way that we can maybe give of ourselves to help them? And we had been collecting coins in a kind of a large mayonnaise jar, old mayonnaise jar, and we've been collecting coins in it, and we had probably about $150, maybe $200 in coins in that jar. And they said, well, why don't we give them our coin jar? And Cindy and I looked at each other, and that was kind of going to be, you know, help us for our vacation coming up. But I said, well, this is their idea, and they heard the need, and they feel like helping out, meeting that need. And we said, we explained to them, you know what, that sacrifice is going to mean that maybe we can't do as much on our vacation. Like, we don't care. We just want to give it to them. And so we made this whole plan of how we were going to take the jar, and we were going to drive up and stop about five houses down, and Andrew and Anna and Abby were gonna you know, sneak down the street and just put the jar on the doorstep and knock on the door and then run back to the car, and we were gonna peel out of there and take off so that they didn't even know it was us. But we were trying to be creative in how we met needs. Sometimes you find out about a need and you can, you know, maybe you can give money to the need. Maybe you can actually step out and help them with whatever it is that they need. Maybe they need help in figuring out how to, fill out an insurance form or something like that. And you know how to do that. And so you can help them with that. Be creative in your service. But as needs come up, remember that God wants us to see needs and meet needs, and as we find out about them, to really do our best to meet them. So let me just share with you a couple of challenges, and then we'll close for the day. First challenge is this. Think of one pre-Christian that you can cultivate a relationship with. Now again, this is still the challenge that we gave 2 weeks ago, or two times ago, if you remember, that we talked about developing a relationship with the people in our love path, the location, occupation, vacation, education. Who is it on our love path that we can begin a relationship with? Maybe you've already begun this, and if you have, that's great. But if you haven't, let's think this week of that one person. Write that name down and pray for opportunities for that relationship to begin, that you can begin to cultivate that relationship. So in targeting and opening your eyes and seeing where the people are. Now, the second challenge is this. Develop some questions for building that relationship. Take some time this week, 10, 15, 20 minutes, and just sit down with a blank sheet of paper and write out maybe the FROM acronym, family, recreation, occupation, memories, and come up with one or two questions in each of those categories that you can ask someone who you just met. And it won't seem weird, it won't seem odd, but again, it just comes down to going up to someone and saying, hello, my name is, what's your name? You know, and practice the questions, memorize the questions, get them down to where it becomes natural for you when you begin a relationship to ask those questions. Third challenge is this. In these relationships, now this is more of a caution than a challenge, but sometimes in relationships like this, we can become the influenced rather than the influencer, right? We can get into these relationships with unsafe people, and we can begin to compromise what we would normally never say and do just to be with them and to try and influence them. And I want to caution you that if you see this, if you see it happening, you need to not let that happen. And if you see it happening in someone else's life, you need to call them out on that, because we are not. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says, do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. One of the other more modern translations says this, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold, right? And so what God is calling us to do is to influence the culture and not allow the culture to influence us. So if we find that we are compromising, maybe we need to take a break from that relationship and then come back to that person and really ask forgiveness. hey, you know what? I let our relationship compromise my faith, and I shouldn't have done that, and I apologize. And that will be a bonding experience in that relationship. Or it could be a deal breaker, right? And if it's a relationship crusher for you and that person, then pray that someone else will be able to come into their life and help them to know Jesus. Listen, God is not done with you. God is not done with them. Sometimes in my relationship with this guy that I met, that I had prayed about and met him, there was a situation that came up that he asked me to do something that I just could not do. In good conscience, that he asked me to do for him, and I said, I can't do that. And he got mad at me and would not speak to me again. So sometimes that happens in these relationships. It doesn't always end with someone coming to know Christ as their Savior. But I believe I've planted seeds in his life, and I hope and pray that someday in heaven I'll see him there, that he'll walk up and he'll show me his Steelers tattoo on his bicep, and I'll say, I know who you are, right? So keep praying and pray. God can heal a relationship. God can bring it back together, but that is what we need to do, okay? And when we learn how to better cultivate these relationships, we begin to see how God is going to help us to be faithful. And once those relationships are cultivated, we can then plant seeds of Jesus, which we'll talk about next time we're together, and then we can challenge for a response, okay? So, there's the challenge. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for how you have created us to be about relationships, to be about other people, Lord, that you have built us that way because you are that way. Lord, you long to have relationships with your creation and with us as your children. That's why you sent Jesus to this earth, so that he might pay the sin debt that we owed, so that we might be able to come into your presence and be with you because you loved us that much. Lord, help us to open our eyes, help us to open our ears, help us to open our hands, so that we might be and develop the kind of relationships that are ready to receive the seeds of Jesus planted in them. Help us to love people, to listen to people, and to care for people the way that you would want us to. And Lord, in the end, may they come to know you as their Savior, and may they learn how to do this with the people on their love path, so that they might be able to find out where people are coming from, so that they might be able to plant seeds of Jesus and call for response and see fruit born. Lord, I pray that you would be honored and glorified in our lives as we do this, as we are challenged to do this, as we continue to do this. Lord, sometimes it's just as simple as opening our home and inviting someone in for a meal. Lord, it might be just that simple. It might just be as simple as us becoming more hospitable in our relationships and in our neighborhoods. Lord, I pray that you give us the courage and the strength and the wisdom to know how to do that. We love you, and we thank you, and we praise you for all that you're doing in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.